of the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, and have you found the verse yet? Praise the Lord. I guess that's because I haven't told you what it is yet. I just thought maybe somebody was going to just move right on ahead of me. Just know what it was going to be. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 35 is where I want to begin this morning for our opening text. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. You may be seated again this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word, our opening text here this morning. Praise be to our God. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord with the saints of God. I want to preach to us this morning on forward in faith. Forward in faith. You notice in this portion of Scripture, it talks about faith and it talks about perdition. These two are opposites, antonyms. They are the difference of night and day. It's just the difference between living for God or living for self. And so we see here in this portion of Scripture that it's talking about the just shall live by faith. And then it talks about the soul that draws back. And the drawing back is unto perdition. In other words, what are you going to go back to? Are you going to go forward in faith? Or are you going to go back? And faith is that persuasion, that credence, that moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God. This is what faith is, you know, that evidence of things not seen, but there's, and I'll get to it here in a minute, there's always a source of faith. Faith is not something that we have of ourselves. Faith has always got a source outside of us. Hallelujah. And it's how we respond to that source, how we respond to that unction. And of course, you know who I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, the reality of faith. And so we see here then faith is that moral conviction, that transaction or the new birth that's happened in us, especially, of course, faith is especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Abstractly, it is constant in such a profession. It's an extension. By extension, it is the system of religious gospel truth itself. So faith has many aspects, has many definitions, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is something that has to be in my heart, in my mind, in my life. And then I must choose to always go forward. You see, this is the choice. Even now, after we're saved, even now, after we're washed in the blood, even now, after our past sins are forgiven, there is still the ultimatum. Will I go forward in faith? Because there's only two directions to go. It's either forward or backward. Amen. And the choice is always mine. The choice is always yours. And so this morning, forward in faith, encouragement to move forward with God, knowing that everything that I move forward in will be a builder of my faith, and my faith will continue to grow, and I will continue to become stronger in the faith. And that word draw back. means to withhold under or out of sight. That I guess really to me it would be like Adam and Eve when they were found in the Garden of Eden and God asked them, "Where are you?" And they drew back. They went and hid themselves. Knowing, surely they knew they couldn't hide from God, but yet we try that sometimes, don't we? Even as believers, we try to hide ourselves from God. How do we do that? We withdraw ourselves from church. We withdraw ourselves from people of church. We withdraw ourselves from the Bible. We withdraw ourselves from anything that would make us think about God. I mean, that's what it is to draw back. So in doing those things, we try to hide from God. And you know, it just really doesn't really register sometimes when we are trying to hide from God that how foolish it is to try to hide from God. Because God knows all things, sees all things, but yet that's what the mind of humanity can produce, a self-deception that I'm getting actually away from God. You know, how about Jonah? We know the story of Jonah and how Jonah thought that he could just sail away to an opposite direction of the city he was supposed to go to, and how that he, you know, he was just going to get away from God. But we realize it don't work that way, does it? Because God had already prepared a great fish, amen, for Jonah. And then the storm came, and then Jonah said, "Throw me overboard, and then the storm will cease." And sure enough, they threw Jonah overboard, and the storm ceased. And actually, in doing that, Jonah was not anticipating the great fish. Jonah was still trying to get away from God. Jonah was still trying to run from God. And he knew, he in his mind, and once again, you know, when you're drawing back, your mind's just not really clear, because he thought death would get him away from God. He didn't realize no matter where you go, God will be there. Hallelujah. And yet in his mind, he thought, "All right, I'll just go overboard. I'll drown. It'll be over, and I'll get away from God." But God had prepared a great fish. That's I'm going to get to that here in a minute. That's that grace of God, even in our times of failure, even in our times of wanting to get away from God, even in our times of foolishness, God's already one step ahead of us. And he's already right there, preparing something to bring me face to face with faith in God, confidence in God, strength in God. And so, you know, to draw back means to get out of sight, to cower or shrink. You know, this is why that child of God is always bold in their, we're witnessing and bold in their testimony for Jesus Christ. But to draw back is to be a coward, to shrink away from confrontation. And so we see that's part of drawing back, to conceal. Oh, here's one. To be reserved. The expression of faith. A lot of times we don't want to express our faith. We reserve ourselves. Amen. That's drawing back away from what God has done. That's drawing back away from what the Spirit of God is doing. We don't want to fall under that category of drawing back. Draw back means timidity or being timid. And of course it also means apostasy, and of course that will be the end result of a continual lifestyle of drawing back. Pulling away from God, moving away from God. So we don't want to be of those that draw back. There's no good in drawing back from God. There's not anything that's going to strengthen me, encourage me, help me, or build my faith by drawing away from God, trying to hide from God, not standing up for God. That's not going to help me any shape, form, or fashion in my walk with God. So then the only other choice is moving forward in my faith, trusting in my God to take me through every circumstance, situation that I may face, that I might be strong, that I might have boldness in the time of testing, that I would stand for the Lord. And when I'm saying boldness, doesn't mean you got to get up and chew somebody out. That's not what I'm talking about, boldness. Boldness is just humbly standing up and saying, but I believe in Jesus Christ, and I am a follower of Him, and I choose not to go that direction, nor to partake of that. That's what I mean by boldness. Being identified with the one that's washed you from your sins. Hallelujah. That's what I mean by boldness, and that's what faith will produce in my heart and in my soul. I will humbly and fearfully many times stand for my Savior. Stand for my Savior. Forward in faith. Hallelujah. And draw back to perdition. That word perdition is not necessarily talking about the place called hell. It is talking about perdition. It's talking about to back to the old ways of life. Back to the ways that I walked before I met Jesus Christ. See, that's what drawing back will produce. It will produce me going back to the way I used to be, going back to the life I used to live, going back. Perdition is ruin or loss, whether it be physical, spiritual, or eternal. It is destruction. It is going back to pernicious ways or a waste of life. You see, anytime you draw back from faith, anytime you draw back from God, you are headed for perdition, which is pernicious ways, which just means the evil ways of this world. And it is a waste of the precious life that God has given us. You see, it's, and don't be offended, and I it's just a no-brainer. Is a terminology that's been used different times. When you face the facts and you look at everything laid on the table, I choose faith. I choose Christ. I choose eternal life. I choose peace from God. I choose power from God. I choose forgiveness of sin. I choose help in the time of trouble. I choose... Are you getting the picture? When it's all laid there and it is seen, I choose faith. I don't want perdition. I don't want to go back to the way I used to be. I don't want to go back to what used to keep me bound. But I want to go forward in faith, because faith is a transformation of spirit, soul, and body. Faith. Faith. You see, it's mentioned multiple times in the Scripture. Faith. 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 Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. A lot of people want to think of this faith as something that just comes out of thin air. But it doesn't come out of thin air. It comes from God moving by His grace in my life. That's where this faith comes from. It's not just some mystical, magical thing that happens. It is the grace of God moving in my life, moving on my life, moving around my life. It is God drawing me unto Him. And in that process, it produces faith. Because I can't, and this is just something that you will be able to testify about. I don't understand. I just know God is drawing me to Him. I don't know what He wants me to do, but I know God is drawing me to Him. And so that, what is that? That's that grace of God drawing on the hearts of men and women, even though they may not understand God. It's that measure of faith that God is drawing upon them for them to make a choice. To reach out and touch Him. Reach out and call on Him. Reach out and receive from Him. You see, that's the thing about faith, is you don't have to fully understand it. You just have to move towards it. move towards it. Because you are going to find, and I have found throughout the years, that most of the time when God is building your faith, you're not going to understand it. But you know he's leading you that direction. And by faith, and of course this is now, then when you start reading the scripture, in Hebrews 11 and 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I think I can add this in here, or diligently hear him. Because if you're diligently seeking him, that means you're wanting to hear from him. And so we see then that faith is the key factor, not that I understand God, just the fact that I know that he's God. And that everything that he does is going to be good and the best for my life. That he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, thus hear him. Hallelujah. And so we see then faith is actually coming from God. Because God's grace is coming to us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Once again, were you there in the beginning when God created everything? I wasn't either. I wasn't there. I wasn't present. You know, I wasn't even a fly on the wall. Nothing like that. We weren't there. But we read in God's word, in the beginning, God created. Faith is produced because of that word. Amen. Why are you sitting on those chairs? Are you sure they will hold you up? Are you sure? How do you know those chairs are going to hold you up? I mean, we just come off Thanksgiving. Multiple Thanksgivings. Are you sure that chair is going to hold you up, Brother Sister Narrows? I mean, you know, it could it start just buckling a little bit? I mean, how do you know? Yeah, he's looking now. Hey, did he sabotage my chair just to make an example of me this morning? No. But, I mean, in other words, that is a display of faith that is based upon knowledge and experience. Because he has sat now in that chair, in that spot now for about 3 weeks. And it has never collapsed one time. And thus, it has produced a faith in him that he can flop down in that chair and be safe. Hallelujah. Praise God. How about these black ones? Is that a safe chair you're sitting in there, Brother Shelton? Are we getting the picture this morning of how many times we exercise faith in our lives? How many drove to church this morning? Did anybody pass another vehicle on a two-lane road? Did you pass anybody coming? You had faith and confidence they were going to stay where they belong, didn't they? Didn't you? We all do. Every time we drive down the highway, our faith and our confidence it is that everybody's going to abide by the rules and do what they're supposed to do. And a lot of times when you're teaching your kids how to drive and giving them instruction, you always tell them, you got to watch out for the other guy. You got to be defensive drivers. You've got to be alert, attentive to what other people are doing because you know you can drive. I think you do. Maybe you know you can't drive. Can you drive, Lydia? Are you sure? Boys, do you have any confidence? Never mind. Amen. Praise our God. You know, but we have confidence in our driving abilities, but we've got to watch out for the other person. And every time we come to meet an individual, we're putting faith and confidence in the laws of our land that they will abide by the rules and drive where they're supposed to drive. That's how faith is exercised. You do what you know is supposed to be done. Amen. I myself sometimes come up to those intersections. Sometimes it's not who you pass on the road, it's who's coming up to the road. and they're coming flying up to that stop sign, and you're driving towards that stop sign, and your first thought, are they going to stop? See, you're losing confidence right there because you see the action of the vehicle, and immediately it brings doubt that they're going to do what they're supposed to do. And if you're like me, you're saying, Lord, help them to stop. Because I don't need that. You know, and my confidence then is not in their ability. It's in the ability of my God to hear my cry and hear my call in a time of trouble. You see, that also came from being attentive and watching and seeing that vehicle was coming way too fast. And thus you begin to respond. Amen. And so we see then faith cometh, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Here we go. In verse number 4 it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Once again, faith was displayed by Abel by offering the sacrifice God had commanded. And it was accounted unto him as righteousness. His obedience, his confidence in God, his allegiance to God, his believing that God is and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, because it's been the same ever since the beginning. God has not changed. He's immutable. He doesn't change. And his requirements of men have not changed. His process of dealing with men has changed, but his desire of men hasn't changed. He's always wanted man to love him with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his strength, and all of his mind. From the very beginning. And then he began that plan of salvation to bring that to pass in the lives of men and women. Hallelujah. And you and I have received of that grace of God and that new birth and that infilling of the Spirit of God to bring this to pass in our lives to where we have the advantage. We can love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength, and all of our mind because of what he has done and where our faith is placed. And so we see then that faith was displayed because, number one, Abel heard the command of the Lord. Number two, he did what the Lord asked him to do. And thus it brought about the blessing of the Lord and the benefits of our God. It brought about also hostility from those who were not full of faith. You see, sometimes that does happen, church. You and I, as we live by faith, sometimes it brings a little hostility to those that do not live by faith. It brings a little conflict, a little contention sometimes. Actually, all the time. If they're not living by faith, there's not going to be a oneness there. There's not going to be a camaraderie there. There's always going to be that measure of difference there. And it's just there. It doesn't mean we want to stir it up on purpose and we don't want to be arrogant about our faith, but yet we always need to understand that those who walk by faith are not really liked by those who do not walk by faith. And so there's always that measure of conflict there. Sometimes it's suppressed. Sometimes it's not, you know, evident there. But the bottom line is the world will always hate Christ. They can't help but do that. And what I mean by that is they just will not love him more than they love themselves. And you see, those who have found Christ love him more than they love themselves. That's the conflict. They're living for self, you're living for Jesus. That's the conflict of night and day, light and darkness. And like I said, sometimes it's suppressed, but it's always there. It's always there. There's always those times, and we're living, you know, I'm like, Brother Noah, I don't want to get political, but we are living in a time of suppression right now of the voice of darkness overriding and ruling and reigning in America. It's still there, and it's still against the child of God, but it has been suppressed. It's like there's been a wall put up. I believe the Lord's hand is in this. But just as sure as he put it up, there's going to come a time when it's coming down. Right now is the time to move forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace of our God. It's time to move forward in our faith. Hallelujah. Because that's what's going to help bring salvation to souls. As you and I move forward in faith, hallelujah, and we turn our back on perdition, and we move forward in faith, that's what's going to give the advantage to those who are walking in darkness to come to the light. Because we're moving forward in the light. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And so we see then verse number 5, of course, this is the book of the heroes of faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Here's your first rapture. This is why we don't have any trouble believing in a rapture, because here's the first one, the first mention of it. Enoch being translated, not seeing death, was just caught up to be with God. That's the first rapture that we ever encounter in God's Word. The second one is Elijah. Elijah didn't see death. He was caught up in a fiery whirlwind. He didn't see death. That's the second mention of a rapture. So I don't have any trouble believing that when the trumpet sounds, all the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain aren't going to see death. We're just going to be changed and caught up in the air, because it's not like it hasn't happened before. Woo! That's what faith is all about. I see that it happened in Enoch's life. I see that it happened in Elijah's life. So if God says it can happen in my life, I believe him. I have faith in the rapture. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're starting to see now, it's starting to come together that our faith is not based on some magical, mystical thing. It's based on the track record of God that's given in his holy word, and then God's grace coming to us and revealing that word to us. And then our faith grows. And in Hebrews 11 and 7, it says, by faith, Noah, and here's the key factor of Noah's faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. In other words, he believed God more than he believed that he hadn't seen that yet. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And so we see God asked Noah to do something based on the fact of something that had never happened before. Wow. But Noah believed God. He believed God more than the meteorologist. He believed God more than what history had revealed. And he definitely believed God more than what everybody else was saying around him. Because they thought Noah was a fool. Because he began to tell them about a calamity that was coming in a way they had never seen before. And because they had never seen it before, they said, well, that just can't happen. You see, a lot of folks are doing that about the rapture, even in the church. You would be surprised how many church denominations do not even believe in a rapture, in a catching away of the bride. I never had heard about it until I was 23 years old and I had gotten saved. And I'd been in church all my life and I'd never heard the word rapture. Never heard any teaching on the catching away of the bride. Never heard anything about the last days. All I heard was Sunday school stories, and they're good. Don't misunderstand me. It created some faith in my heart and in my life that there is a God. And I believe that there was a God. But then it took a change of heart and a decision of surrender for it all to transpire in my heart and in my soul. Hallelujah. Then I could know there was a God, and I know there was a Savior, and I know that I am saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, it's all a matter of faith, because God then began to move. God began to work. And once again, it's the heroes of faith. And of course, the emphasis of this message this morning is faith is always preceded by grace. God's Word, God's Spirit, the testimony of the saints, Faith is always preceded by the grace of God. Amen. That's that grace of God. In Romans 12 and 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The source is God. God moving with his grace, letting men and women know, I'm here. I'm real. What are you going to do about it? Will you reach? Will you call? Will you humble? Amen. That grace precedes faith. Romans 10 and 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Here we're seeing the grace of God in action. And even in Proverbs, in the wisdom of Proverbs, Proverbs 1 and 23, it says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you." Grace. The grace of our God. Hallelujah. Saying, if you'll hear what I'm speaking to you, and you'll turn to me in surrender and allegiance, I will show you my word. I will teach you. I will train you. I mean, I'm not adding to the scripture. I mean, that's just the fullness thereof of God's word and God's desire for your life and mine. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And he meant exactly what he said. And even if I shall forsake him, he's not going to forsake me. Grace is going to keep reaching. Grace is going to keep reaching. Hallelujah. Grace kept reaching to me until I finally learned to start responding to that grace in that positive way, which produced supernatural results. Amen. It's amazing the long suffering of our God. You see, it's not a characteristic we as humanity have. You know, anyone can go once or twice, you know, just overlook it once or twice. But my, we see it a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. Okay, give me a break. I mean, that's just our response. But God just says, "Here I am. Will you come to me? Here I am. Will you turn from your own ways and follow me?" The thing is, there is coming a day when grace for this time period is going to stop. In the sense, when that rapture takes place, all those that have received the grace of God in vain, which means they hear it, they know it's right, they know it's real, but they don't do anything with it, they're going to begin to fall under judgment. There'll be a whole new door that will open up to those that haven't heard, those that didn't know. And as calamity begins to come across this world, they'll call out to God, they'll cry out to God, they'll want to know, is there a God? And grace will show up for them. But those that had grace after grace after grace after grace after grace and never responded to that grace, when that trumpet sounds, that grace is going to stop and judgment is going to fall. It's just what the God's word tells us. That's why we've got to be diligent and wise to the signs of the times and respond to the grace of God by obedience unto him as he begins to lead us in our walk of faith, our life of faith. Notice our opening scriptures said, "The just shall live by faith." It's not a one-time experience. It is a life of faith in God, a life of responding to grace, a life of transformation, a life of change, a life of blessing as we change and be conformed to the image of Christ. Acts 2 and 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That's God's desire. That's God's promise. Amen. For those who will put their faith in Jesus Christ can then be filled with the Spirit of God. And then God can bless them with spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. Spiritual strength. You see, that's something we need not be fearful of. That is something we need to be in pursuit of. That God would pour His Spirit out upon us and manifest Himself unto us, that we could be strong and be able to do those great exploits for our God. Just standing in that time when trouble comes our way. Standing in that time when a co-worker may ask, where do you go to church? Standing up. Not really knowing or not really wanting to just emphasize the church, but seeing an opportunity to let them know that, but then take them farther than that about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, that's where that Spirit of God is involved. Hallelujah. To give me that boldness, to give me that strength, to give me that wisdom, to give me what to say at that point in time of a confrontation or a conflict. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see then in Habakkuk 2 and 4, it says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Faith and humility are synonyms. Humble before God. Romans 1, 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Have you picked up on how many times I've read that to you thus far this morning from God's word about living by faith? The just shall live by faith. In other words, those that have been washed from their sins have a lifestyle of faith going on in their lives. Now, if you've not been washed in the blood and you've not been cleansed from sin, then you really know nothing about faith. Because that is your first step of faith, of asking that from God when He brings it to your attention. Amen. Galatians 3 and 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Just doing good deeds is not living by faith. But living by faith will produce good deeds. You can't earn your way into heaven, but as you're on your way to heaven, you're just good to all those around you because you want everybody to go with you. Amen. Hallelujah. This is that understanding of the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10 and 38, and I'm closing here this morning. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Once again, God's word, and God has said it to Israel. He says it to every individual that will hearken and listen to Him. I place before you life and death. Blessing or curse. Faith or perdition. God's way or your way. The choice is always ours. But God moves in those wonderful, mysterious ways, and that was with that loving kindness to always help persuade me to choose faith. To choose faith. Hallelujah. Praise our God. You see, there are heroes in the Bible whose lives didn't start out living by faith. But yet they knew that God was real. I personally can testify of that in my life. There's probably many in here this morning that can testify of that in your life. But one of those individuals was a young man named Jacob. His very word means deceiver. His very name meant deceiver, supplanter. And he really lived up to that. He did. And everything that it seemed like he did it all for Jacob. He did it all for himself. Everything, all of his decisions, all the things that he connived up, he did it for Jacob. He did it for himself. And it kind of got him in a little bit of trouble with his brother when he stole his brother's birthright. And I realized there was other things involved around that situation, but yet Jacob was the main character in that story of he wanted that birthright. And so he deceived his elderly father. Yes, his mother helped him do it, but it cost him a lot of trouble with his brother, and his brother sought to slay him, to kill him, and Jacob had to flee. His circumstances caught up with him, and he had to run for his life. Yet while he was running away from the evil he created, he laid his head down at Bethel, and there in a dream, he saw a ladder, a stairway, an access going up to heaven, and angels coming down and angels going up. And he woke up that next morning and said, "Surely God's in this place." And immediately he just acted like Jacob, and he tried to bargain with God. He says, "God, if you'll do this for me and do this for me and do this for me, if you'll go with me, if you'll keep me and you'll bring me back to this place again, then I'll serve you then." You know, we all have done that. Try to bargain with God, knowing what God is trying to do, and yet we want to go a different road and do a different thing, and then, "Well, Lord, if you'll just allow me to..." Well, that was Jacob. You see, he wasn't living by faith yet. He was still living by perdition. He was still living by Jacob. And he goes on for the next, I can't remember exactly, 20-some years of his life. He's still wrestling with Jacob. He's still kind of on the deceiving side. He's still trying to make everything lean for Jacob, until he finally has to come back and face the fire. Face the very thing that he started in the beginning that sent him fleeing and running from Esau. Because now God was beginning to talk and said, "It's time for you to go back." And Jacob went his way and started going back. And when it finally came down to the very point of meeting his brother Esau face to face, the Bible said that he began to wrestle with an angel. But this was not an ordinary angel. Jacob was wrestling with God. And God was trying to bring him to a place that he'd been trying to bring him his whole adult life. And that is revealed because as they wrestled and Jacob would not let go, because he was now in a place of desperation. He was now actually in a place where he was really tired of being Jacob. And that angel said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I'm a liar. I've cheated people out of all their stuff. My name is Jacob." That's all God was waiting for. For him to humble his heart, confess who he was and what he was. And he said, "No longer will your name be Jacob, but you will be Israel." The Bible says it touched the hollow of his thigh. He gave him a sign that he'd never forget his encounter with God. And he limped on that leg for the rest of his life, to always remind him of when he met God face to face. You and I have that same testimony, because every one of us have that moment in time when we humbled our heart and we met Jesus Christ face to face. And we saw ourselves for who we are or who we were. And we did not want that anymore. And Jesus Christ gave us newness of life. Praise our God. Now, if you've never encountered that moment in your life, then you can encounter it today. Because every believer will encounter it. Every individual will have to come face to face with who they are and who Jesus Christ is. And when there is a humbling of the heart and a confession in the soul, in the mind, in the heart, that's when that new creation is created. Hallelujah. And you'll never forget your encounter with Jesus Christ when you met him face to face at an altar of prayer somewhere in your life. For me, it was in a church. For others, it's been different places. But every born-again believer will have that time when they know they were born again by the power of God. Just like Jacob had his time, where he then became a man of faith, and he began to live by faith. Every one of us will have that moment of time. Then from that point forward, we choose to live by faith. We choose to walk with God. The list could go on and on. Rahab. Rahab believed God. Rahab hid the spies. Rahab put that scarlet ribbon, that scarlet rope, outside her window on the wall of Jericho. And her household were saved. Because her faith was in God. Because that's what they told her to do. Faith is always linked to obedience to what she told to do. It is. And she put that out there. And as you read that story, you've got to realize all the wall fell down in such a fashion that all Israel could go straight into the city. That, to me, that means it either all fell inside or it all fell straight down. Because all of Israel just rushed right into the city. But Rahab and her household were saved. I don't know if you can picture this in your mind or not, but all the walls are down in this great city except one little spot where Rahab and her household were abiding. And there was a scarlet cord hung out the window. And that is the only thing that was standing of that great wall, of that great city that God conquered. And that happened because of faith. Praise our God. Amen. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano this morning? Amen. David was a man of faith. Saul of Tarsus became a man of faith. The list goes on and on. You see, to live by faith, you're going to have to find yourself in the presence of God and in the Word of God. Those are factors of faith ruling and reigning in my life. And the third factor will always be my choice. What am I going to do with what Jesus shows me of himself? What am I going to do with what God shows me of his Word? What am I going to do when grace comes my direction and begins to take me to higher places and begins to take me to the closer walk? You will encounter that sooner or later in your Christian life. You will be faced with the ultimatum: faith or perdition. I can remember it very vividly in my mind and in my life. I don't remember exactly how long it was after I was saved, born again by the Spirit of God. But I was at an altar praying, and I really don't remember whether it was at home or whether it was at a church service. But I remember the conversation as God began to speak to my heart and began to speak to my soul. And he just simply asked me a question. He said, Will you follow me? Or will you go back to the way you used to be? Just plain as I'm talking to you here this morning, he spoke that to my heart, to my mind. I just began to weep. And my response was, Lord, why would I want to go back when I have finally found what I've been looking for all my life? I said, no, Lord, I'm not going back. I'm following you. And from that point forward, my life began to change in great ways and wonderful ways. Hallelujah. He filled me with his Holy Ghost. He put a call upon my life. And he began to bless my household above measure. Because I chose faith. I chose Christ. I chose God. Every day, I still have to make a choice. Even though I made that choice many, many years ago, every day I still have to choose. Am I going to serve Jesus Christ? Or am I going to go back and just serve myself? I got to keep it on my mind. Because I want to go forward in faith. I want to go forward in Jesus Christ. Stand with me if you would this morning. Hallelujah. God of heaven, we rejoice. Lord, in the grace that you show unto us. God, we rejoice in your long suffering. And we thank you, O God, that your mercies are renewed every morning. God of heaven, just work your wonderful works, Lord, in our heart, in our soul, in our mind. Lord, help us to rise up here this morning, Lord, and choose faith. Choose Christ. Choose surrender. Hallelujah. To move with the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us this very morning. To move, Lord, with your Spirit, with your Word, into those higher places in Jesus Christ. Becoming more solid and stable in the ways we live. Hallelujah. 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 Let's come around these altars of prayer. Let's find us a place of prayer.